We are recording.
Okay, thank you. Okay. The January 20th, 2021 meeting. I'm sorry, did someone say something? The January 20th, 2021 meeting of the Derry Township Zoning Hearing Board is called to order. I want to make everyone aware that it is and has been the policy of Derry Township to record meetings for the purpose of accurate notes and posting on the township website. This meeting is being recorded for those purposes. David, could you please give our description relative to our use of Zoom and the notices that that are provided for the meeting?
Absolutely. Due to the COVID-19 crisis in the United States, Derry Township has decided to go virtual with all township business, including the Zoning Hearing Board. The Zoning Hearing Board link was posted in the newspaper ad, as well as made available on the website for all interested parties to contact or attend. Derry Township will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. That's an awkward way to end it, but that's all I got to say.
Thank you, David. So we'll do a roll call of members. Lindsay Drew?
Here.
Sandy Ballard?
Here.
Dean Morgan?
Here.
Mike Angelo?
Here.
And Steve Seidel, I'm here. Okay. all right. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the December 16th, 2020 meeting?
So moved.
Second.
And when, again, for-
Mike Angelo, our, so moved.
Thank you, Mike. So our stenographer can capture this. Thank you. Yes. And Sandy, did you second?
Sandy seconded.
Thank you. Any discussion?
This is Lindsay Drew. I just want to note that for the decisions this evening and the minutes, I will be abstaining because I was not present for the last meeting.
Okay, thank you, Lindsay. Any other discussion before we vote? Okay, all in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that motion carries 4-0. All right, thank you. Our next order of business tonight, being the first meeting of the 2021 calendar year, is to discuss the organization of the board in terms of the positions for chair, vice chair, and secretary. So are there any,
I'll nominate Steve to continue as chair.
Second, Lindsay Drew.
Willing to continue if the board so desires. Any discussion on that motion made by Sandy?
I'm in favor of it.
I'm in favor as well.
Thank you for the confidence. So all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that carries 5-0. How about for the position of vice chair? I'll make that motion if you're willing to continue, Sandy. I'll make the motion to nominate Sandy Ballard to continue as vice chair. Is there a second?
Dean Morgan, I second that.
Dean. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? That motion passes 5-0 as well. Lastly, do I have a motion for the position of secretary?
Who's secretary now?
Dean is currently our secretary.
Okay. I'll make a motion to have Dean continue in that position.
Steve Seidel. Okay, go ahead, Lindsay. I think you seconded. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, that motion also passes 5-0. And just to note, this is the terms are for a year. So we'll revisit this again at next January's meeting, unless we have need for any reason due to a change in the board where any of the positions need to be filled as we did last year. So, okay, very good. Well, we'll move on to old business then. We have three items of old business on the agenda for tonight. The first is the adoption of a decision in the case of Hershey Square 2014 LP, which is case number 2020-13. I have all three of these proposed decisions up, and I will read the order portion of them once we've made a motion. Do I have a motion from anyone to approve that decision?
Dean Morgan, so moved.
Thank you, Dean. Do I have a second?
Sandy, second.
Thank you, Sandy. Okay, I'll read the proposed order before we vote. Okay, dated today, January 20th, 2021. Number one, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-401.4.F.B.1, table 36, regarding the maximum area for an individual wall sign is granted. The applicant may install the following wall signs with the maximum area of E, 5 below, 224.0 square feet, TJ Maxx, 199.06 square feet, Big Lots, 206.66 square feet, and Planet Fitness, 199.82 square feet. Number two, the applicant shall construct the improvements in strict compliance with the plans and specifications submitted to the board during the hearing of this matter, provided, however, that if the improvements that are the subject of this hearing is finally constructed require less relief than granted by the board herein, no additional relief from this board shall be required, except as extended by applicable law. I'm sorry, that's number three, except as extended by applicable law, the relief granted herein shall be valid for 1 year from the date hereof. In the event the applicant has not, within the time period provided herein, commenced operations, applied for a building permit relative to improvements where permits are necessary, or constructed the improvements not requiring permits, the relief granted herein shall be deemed to have expired, and the applicant shall be required to comply with the then existing terms of the zoning ordinance. Number four, any violation of any condition imposed herein shall be a violation of the township zoning ordinance and shall be enforced as provided in the ordinance. So is there any discussion before we vote on this? Okay, hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that carries 4-0. Okay, the second case tonight is adoption of the decision in the case of Sweet Dreams Properties LLC, case number 2020-14. Do I have a motion?
So moved, Sandy.
Do I have a second?
Dean Morgan, I'll second it.
Thank you. Okay, I'll read that one as well. This one's a little shorter. Okay. Again, dated today. Number one, the applicant's request for a special exception from section 225-603 regarding the substitution of one nonconforming use for another is granted. The applicant may use the approximately 6,000 square feet of the property previously occupied by sleep analysis consultants for a healthcare practitioner's office or chiropractor's office. Number two, any violation of any condition imposed herein shall be a violation of the township zoning ordinance and shall be enforced as provided in the ordinance. Is there any discussion on this motion? Okay, again, hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. And again, as Lindsay pointed out before, she abstained on all of these votes. Okay, that one passes also 4-0. Okay, third case is adoption of the decision in the case of Brian M. Wheeler, I think it's pronounced, W-E-H-L-E-R, case number 2020-15. Do I have a motion to approve that decision?
Mike Angelo, so moved.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Do I have a second?
Dean Morgan, a second.
Thank you, Dean. Again, I'll read that one here as well. Again, dated today. Number one, the applicant's request for a variance from section 225-401.2.1.B, B as in boy, that is, regarding construction on areas with slopes in excess of 20% is granted. The applicant may construct the single family residence while disturbing no more than 0.406 acres of the property with slopes in excess of 20%, except as otherwise permitted by the ordinance. Number two, the relief granted herein is strictly contingent on the property's other 3.425 acres with slopes in excess of 20% remaining undisturbed or wooded. Number three, in addition, the relief granted herein is strictly contingent upon the applicant maintaining the 120 feet wooded buffer from the Jonathan Eschenauer Memorial Trail in a natural state. Number four, the applicant shall construct the improvements in strict compliance with the plans and specifications submitted to the board during the hearing of this matter, provided, however, that if the improvements that are the subject of this hearing as finally constructed require less relief than granted by the board herein, no additional relief from this board shall be required. Number five, except as extended by applicable law, the relief granted herein shall be valid for 1 year from the date hereof. In the event the applicant has not, within the time period provided herein, commenced operations, applied for a building permit relative to the improvements where permits are necessary, or constructed the improvements not requiring permits, the relief granted herein shall be deemed to have expired, and the applicant shall be required to comply with the then existing terms of the zoning ordinance. Number six, any violation of any condition imposed herein shall be a violation of the township zoning ordinance and shall be enforced as provided in the ordinance. Any discussion on this decision, on this motion? Okay, hearing none, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
That motion passes 4-0 as well. Okay, so next we have some new business. And just a point of clarification, I believe that Steve, one of the...
Steve, if I could, just before you move on to new business, if you could put on the record a motion authorizing you to sign the decision.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Megan. Board. Thank you.
I move that we authorize Steve to sign as on behalf of all of us. On all the decisions.
Mike Angelo, second.
Thank you. Thank you for that reminder, Megan. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. Thank you. Okay. So we had three hearings scheduled for tonight. My understanding is that we have one of the cases that's been withdrawn. Is that correct, Chuck or David?
Yes. Mr. Rinaldi, case 2020-17 to be heard this evening, has withdrawn his application due to unforeseen circumstances. So we will not be hearing that case this evening.
Okay, thank you for that.
Before we start new business, I would like to mention that we do have one attendee, if we could keep an eye on that as we get into the new business to see if they have any comments or concerns for the board's consideration.
You saying one member from the public?
Yep, we actually have two now.
Okay, yeah, I try to remember to make sure we ask for input on each case. Do we have representatives of both of the applicants on the call?
Yes, we do.
So we'll start with case number 2020-16, which is a hearing in the case of, please correct me if I'm saying your name wrong, Krupal and Neelam Desai. Would you please?
Hi, all.
I'm sorry, say it for me, please.
That is correct, yes.
Thank you. So will you both be testifying at tonight's hearing, and are there anyone else that will be testifying on your behalf tonight?
Just me and my wife.
Okay, so first thing we need to do is we need to swear you in before you can offer testimony. So if you'd please raise your right hands. And do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, you may proceed. And let me just say, you know, we do have your application, you know, that we, you can assume that we have all reviewed that, but, you know, we encourage you to, you know, to summarize. We encourage you to summarize the, you know, your key points, you know, making sure especially to focus on the criteria, you know, that's required for the approval. Okay, so go ahead, and then we may have some questions for you once you've completed. So if you would, you know, present a summary of your, what you're asking the board to do.
Oh, you're on mute.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Everybody, can you hear?
Yes.
Yeah, so basically, you know, we want to build an extension to our current home. The reason being is, you know, my parents, they're in their mid-70s. They're retiring, moving in from Ohio. My dad's basically had a couple knee surgeries. And my mom also has some knee issues where, you know, she has to take injections every month, this and that. And, you know, we're a family of five. We have three kids, two dogs, as you heard them. So, you know, we want to definitely, you know, get the extension approved. And the reason, you know, we're putting in additional kitchen in the area is simply we have no stairs in the addition. So we put in the elevator to make it more comfortable for my parents to go, you know, from the first floor to the basement. And also in the basement, we have a kitchen, so they don't have to go upstairs for food and whatnot. So that's our case in regarding the extension and obtaining approvals.
Can I ask a question, if that's all right?
Sure, yes.
So were you given the rules that you were to address with your application?
The rules in sense of?
The accessory dwelling unit rules?
This, Krupal, this would be the going over the requirements to establish the accessory dwelling unit, such as going over why you were coming to get a special exception and
That's the application I filled out.
Well, yes, no, the rules are a little different than you know, explaining why you're doing it. I think there's some, if I can pull it up, unless someone else has it. I think it's important to just go through those.
Oh yeah, no, he emailed us.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yes, we got that. Yeah.
Okay. Can you go through those and kind of cover? Ah, there they are. Okay. Yeah, just cover them a little bit each one.
I'm somewhat confused on what you're asking me to do.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, and I was just suggesting we might want to have the testimony on the record of why it fits these criteria. I'm open to other suggestions if you guys have suggestions.
Yeah, no, I think that's right, Sandy. So what we're asking you to do is just basically if you would speak briefly to each of these points here. As to your request meeting these conditions for approval of an accessory dwelling unit, which is what I believe you're asking us to approve as a special exception. So there's number one here. It requires that it's accessory to a single family semi-detached, et cetera, dwelling.
Could you like unzoom it? Just it gets cut off with the screen and everybody on there. Thank you. So number one, I guess, what do you need us to confirm?
Let me help you out here. When you're looking at it, when you're looking at number one, which I'm not going to read it, we all have it in front of us. How does your accessory dwelling meet that criteria? I assume that it's attached. It's going to be attached to the home.
Okay. Yes.
About that, correct?
Yeah. So it's going to be attached to the home, and basically where our current laundry room is, that gets opened up, and it'll be a hallway that goes into this new unit.
Okay.
And then obviously there's no main entrance leading into this new unit. There is the exterior, the walkout basement, and there's a side deck area also. Okay. So the actual unit does connect through the laundry room, the current laundry room, to this new unit.
And your current house is a single family detached.
It is a single dwelling.
Okay, so that's basically number one, that your current home its structure is a single family detached unit, and that this accessory unit will be attached to your current structure. Correct.
That is correct.
Okay, let me help him out here a little bit.
Sure, go ahead, Dean.
On number two, sir, the house that you're going to be adding on to, that has at least 1,200 square feet. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. And the addition that you want to put on is no more than 50% of what your current square footage of your home is. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Do you know what those figures are in terms of what the existing home is and what the addition amount is?
The addition is somewhere maybe the first one might be under 2,300 square feet. I don't have exact numbers. I can try to pull it up. Looking at the drawings, and the current home might be roughly 5,600 square feet.
Okay, so that would meet the criteria then of less than 50%.
Well, can I ask Dave? Did you do the numbers for us?
As far as under 50%, we're looking at floor area here. The floor area, because they're also adding a garage, is not the 2,400 square feet. That is just the footprint.
Okay.
It is, when you take into account the finished basement and the main floor and the second floor of the existing house, it makes up roughly... it doesn't cross the 50%. I do not have the exact numbers, but it was well under 50%. It's more closer to 30 or 20%, but I cannot speak to the exact number.
But Dave, you can tell us that it's below 50%, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. And sir, with respect to your lot, I'm somewhat familiar with that area. Is that about a 1 acre lot out there?
No, we sit on 3.5 acres.
So that's obviously more than 9,000 square feet. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah. 153,000 some square feet, I believe.
Okay. And finally, the final criteria is that it cannot be occupied by more than two persons. You said this is your mom and dad. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, Dean, actually, there's additional criteria on the next page.
You know, I haven't been in trial in a while, so I appreciate this.
We're all helping each other out tonight.
All right, sir, number six, you can read that. They are related to you by blood. Those are your parents.
That is correct. That is correct, yes.
Okay.
And there's just two of them. Did we cover that one?
That is correct.
Okay. Got it.
I don't think seven is applicable here.
Right.
With respect to number eight, it's going to comply with all building codes, I presume.
That is correct.
And I'm familiar with your lot out there. You have more than enough parking space for this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So am I correct that the drawing showed that you're adding two garage parking spaces? Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
That would add at least the one parking. That would count for at least the one parking space that you need.
Okay. And I assume that this complies with the building code, and also that the sewage system is going to be in compliance with what number 11 is asking for.
On-site sewage or sewage disposable.
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. And number 12 refers to a deed. I think that's a future use, so I don't even think we need to cover that. Is that correct? Is everybody else reading that the same way?
Well, you have to record the agreement. You have to sign the agreement.
Okay.
Recorded, right? And it has to be recorded.
You're willing to do that, sir, and then have that recorded?
Yeah, I believe we've already filled the paperwork out, and Janelle has the documents from even the signed deed and all that. I believe she has all that information from my attorney.
And with respect to section, all right, it has been a while since I've been in trial, so whoever's controlling this. For section B, you notify the municipal authority of the proposed establishment of the dwelling unit. You've taken care of all that.
Yes.
Yeah. They are on lot septic, so they would not reach out to Derry Township Municipal Authority.
Okay.
I believe his name is Jeremy, has that information.
Okay.
Yes.
He has that.
Okay. Jeremy is our sewage enforcement officer, for the record.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And then section B2 refers to a record keeping thing. So I think we've covered all of that. Does anyone else have any questions?
I don't have any other questions.
I don't have any other. I'm fine.
Okay. So unless there's any other, are there any members of the public that are here that wish to provide any testimony regarding this case?
So for the record, I see a Dave, which I believe is probably Dave with the son, and a Tom Masaryk, and I do not see a hand raised.
So if there are no other questions or comments, then I will just let you know that the board, the applicant, know that the board has 45 days to make a decision. If you are aggrieved by that decision, then you have 30 days to appeal that if you so choose.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So thank you for your testimony this evening.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you. We can log off now.
Yeah, you can stay on or drop off. Your choice. You found this so invigorating that you want to stay on. You're welcome. But
I think you have some dogs to attend to, though.
So. That's right. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for coming.
All right. Good night.
Thank you.
Okay. Our next hearing tonight is in the case of the McNaughton Company, case number 2020-18. Who do we have on the call that's representing the applicant?
Hi, good evening. My name's Joel McNaughton with the McNaughton Company.
Okay, do you have anyone else that will be testifying in addition to yourself tonight?
No.
Okay, well, let me swear you in then first before we begin. If you'd raise your right hand, please. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, you can proceed then. And I'm not sure if you were on when I gave kind of an introductory remark that, you know, we obviously have your application that was submitted that you can assume that we've reviewed, but we do ask you to still go through the various points and at least summarize it. You don't need to read your application, but certainly summarize your key points and please address the criteria that is required for the relief that you're requesting. Okay, thank you.
Very good, thank you. Thanks thanks for having us here tonight. It's nice to see everybody. You sort of miss a little bit getting out to the public meetings, as I'm sure you do, but it's also nice to be able to do it from home. Or I actually came to my office today because I do have dogs and kids, you know, that like to make a lot of noise in the background. But nonetheless, my name's Joel McNaughton. I'm an attorney for the McNaughton Company. We are the equitable owners of a lot located off of Lucy Avenue. That's just north of Route 422 or West Chocolate Avenue. It's known as the tax parcel number 24-031-031. The lot is located in the general commercial zoning district, and it is currently vacant. The area generally, the lot itself and the area generally has been developed into single family detached residences. And our desire is to build a single family detached dwelling on the lot. Single family detached dwellings are a permitted use in the general commercial zoning district. What you see in front of you now is a copy of our site plan that was prepared based on a field boundary survey. Based on that field survey, the existing lot is 50 feet by 150 feet in size. It is served with public water and public sewer. I would note that just maybe for quick history, the lots in this section of the township were created back in 1952 by what we found to be an unrecorded plan of lots, which is known as Sipe City. This particular lot has existed as a separate parcel on a separate deed and in its current configuration since its creation in 1952. In the general commercial zoning district, the lot does not meet certain dimensional requirements necessary for the construction. Namely, it does not meet the minimum 100-foot lot width. And it cannot be developed in harmony with the existing neighborhood while adhering to the minimum required side yard setback, which is 15 feet. Therefore, we're here tonight seeking your approval of dimensional variances under section 225-307 of the zoning ordinance as relates to the minimum lot width and the minimum side yard setback. Seeking relief to permit a minimum lot width of 50 feet and a minimum side yard setback of 5 feet. I would note that your Derry Township zoning ordinance does contemplate such relief. Section 225-206E of the zoning ordinance, entitled Lot Dimension Exceptions, recognizes and understands that such lots exist throughout the township. And it says that undeveloped lots, such as the one that we're here for tonight, which do not meet one or more minimum dimensional standards, may be used as a site of a permitted use if it meets certain criteria. There are three criteria which this particular lot meets all three of. Criteria one is that it was created prior to February 2nd, 1971. This lot was created in 1952. It's been described, criteria two, the lot has been described as a separate lot on all deeds subsequent to February 2, 1971. This lot has always and still exists as a separate lot. And then the third criteria really doesn't apply. Says that, you know, if you have particular dimensional criteria for different uses, this should follow the one that's sort of the least restrictive or most restrictive, and that doesn't apply in the general commercial zoning district. Nonetheless, the lot does meet the criteria to apply the lot dimension exception as set forth in 225-206E. Unfortunately, that section doesn't continue to say what are those alternate dimensional criteria that can be utilized. Such then is our presentation here tonight and the need for these two dimensional variances. As you're obviously aware, there are five criteria necessary for a grant of a variance. We cover those in detail in our application. I'll just touch on those five quickly here now for the record. Criteria one, there are unique physical conditions of the lot, specifically the fact that the lot is 50 feet wide and not 100 feet wide as required by the zoning ordinance, which creates an unnecessary hardship. Criteria two, because of the physical circumstances, the property can't be developed in strict conformity with the ordinance. The lot is more narrow than what is required in the general commercial zoning district, and the variance is therefore necessary for reasonable use of the property. Again, with each of these, I would urge you to keep in mind the lot dimension exception that the ordinance recognizes these types of conditions do exist. Criteria three, the unnecessary hardship was not created by the applicant. The lot was created in 1952. And has existed in this condition since 1952. Criteria four, the variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, impair the appropriate use or development of adjacent properties, or be detrimental to the public welfare. The lot is surrounded by existing single family detached residences on lots created again by that unrecorded plan in 1952 of similar size and shape. Many of which have buildings constructed with a side yard setback of less than 5 feet. And finally, criteria five, the variance represents the minimum necessary to afford relief and the least modification possible to the regulation at issue. The 50-foot lot width, that's the measured and certified lot width based on a survey. That's what exists. That's the most that there possibly can be. And the five-foot side yard setback with a combined 50-foot lot width is necessary to be able to construct a dwelling. Just one note, I guess, for the record, I assume that our application and all the supporting documents and exhibits are entered into and part of the record. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have, but appreciate your favorable consideration to our request.
Thank you, Joel. What are the dimensions of the proposed dwelling?
So it's about the dwelling would be from a just a straight plan view kind of view, it's 40 feet wide by about 30 feet wide, give or take.
Okay. Okay. So pretty modest size, pretty small footprint.
Small footprint. In fact, for us at least, it's the smallest that we feel comfortable doing. We're also providing for a two-car garage integral to the dwelling, and a, you know, full two-car driveway to try to assist and ensure that there's plenty of parking for the future resident.
Joel, this is Dean Morgan. I'm looking at your deeds. Is this track one or track two on the 2000, I think it's 11 deed? Is that what? And help me understand how you acquired equitable ownership of this.
So you'll have to give me a sec to look here and remember which one, which tract it is.
Okay.
So this, and I'm looking quickly here, but tract number one in the legal description references that having thereon erected a dwelling known as 56 Lucy Avenue. So I'm fairly confident that tract number one is the property, if you're looking from the street, immediately to the right, and then track number two is the track at issue here.
Okay, and with respect to that, the address of this lot, it doesn't have an actual physical address because it's always been vacant, is that right?
That's correct as far as anything that that we're aware of.
Okay. And I'm a little confused as to, I see a deed that has one owner. Are you the owner of both of those properties now?
No. So the current owners who currently own 56 Lucy Avenue and this lot are selling both of their parcels. 56 Lucy Avenue, the existing dwelling, is under agreement to some third-party purchaser.
Okay.
And then we have under agreement the vacant lot.
Okay, that just hasn't, that sale hasn't been finalized then. Is that right?
Correct. Correct.
Okay, I understand.
Could I just interrupt here for a second, please? Joel, by your survey, the property that you're looking to build on appears to be track number one. If you can see my screen share. And at one time, not forever ago. So what I'm putting up now is Dauphin County tax GIS mapping. So at one time, this is what it looks like in 2018. Okay. So this is the property that's the subject of the hearing. In 2003, as you can see, a house did exist on the property. And it's obvious the house was torn down. So at one time there was a dwelling on this property. And I think that's what the deed's reflecting when it says having a dwelling thereon.
Okay.
So just to clear the record on those couple facts. So this was, you know, developed as an individual lot, as you stated, as part of Sipe City. My understanding is the person that bought both lots ended up tearing down the one dwelling.
Chuck, are you saying that the current, owner had torn down that structure? Because that was one of my questions is, you know, what information there was about when that was torn down, because I've seen a picture of that structure torn down. You know, a pile of rubble. So I had that same question about whether there was a home there.
Judging from the Dauphin County GIS map, somewhere between 2003, which is when the home was there, and 2008, the home was torn down. I didn't think that the actual date was extremely relevant to this hearing, other than the fact that I just wanted to straighten out the track number for the deed.
So your belief is it's track number one.
That's what the survey reflects.
The the prior deed that was attached to the application from 1959, that legal description matches with track two on the 2011 deed. So I thought it was track two as well.
This is my concern with respect to those, and Joel, I think you can understand that. If it appears we don't know which tract we have.
I believe that we're working on track number two, and that perhaps the note on the survey is just a mistake. But we do know, I mean, it is parcel 24-031-031. It's designated as that particular parcel. Not sure what else, why otherwise, which tract it is on the deed is important.
So in terms of, you said you're the equitable owner of this tract, but you're saying currently this, and on the application it indicated the owner was, I want to make sure I get the name right here, Scott McCain and Ashley Herschel McCain. Are they still the owners and of both of these?
Correct. They're the owners
of both tracks at the moment.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I think we need to get straight what track we are talking about here. I want to take a look at this here in a moment. So, but let me just put it out if there's other questions from board members.
If I can ask, just so that, assuming that we can figure out the tract issue. Joel, is there any other additional information you want to present about the variance? Let's just assume for sake of discussion here that the tract, we'll be able to work that out. Is there anything else that you need to tell us about the variance?
No, I don't have any additional anything else to share at this point.
Okay. And just a couple of other additional questions, since you're the equitable owner, not the legal owner at this point. When was that contract entered? Just ballpark.
Yeah, within the last, I'd say 60 days.
Okay. And is closing at all, is this determinative to the closing on this?
Yes.
Okay. If you can't
get November, looks like around November the 6th or so.
Okay. And if you can't get the variance, does that, is the sale contingent on your ability to get the variance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I don't have any further questions.
Any other board members have questions? Okay. So if not, then let me open it up to any members of the public. And I understand that, David, you may have had some comments submitted as well. But first, let me open it up to any members of the public that are on the call right now.
There are no hands raised.
Okay. All right, David or Chuck, can you please indicate, I believe we got some written correspondence in response to the Zoom advertisement for the hearing and the Zoom.
Yes, I received an email signed. Sorry, I have to move screens over. From signed S. Keith Hoover. He is the owner of three parcels adjacent and numerous other parcels in proximity to 56 Lucy and the lot that is under discussion this evening. He feels that no variance or special exceptions shall be granted for new residential construction because the area is now zoned general commercial. He goes on to mention that it is a vacant non-conforming lot, so the promotion of construction on it was never intended. And then he also mentions about the coexistence of businesses and residents and how it places an extra burden on the businesses to minimize impact on the residents. Is there any questions from the board on that? Or I don't know if that would be done in executive session, but
we can make that a part of the record, I think.
And Joel, Megan, what's the best way? Can I interrupt you for 1 second, Dean? Megan, can you just weigh in, please, as to the appropriate way for us to enter that into the record? Can we just do that by stating so, or does it need to be read in or anything like that?
No, it doesn't need to be read in as long as the applicant was given a copy of the email and has an opportunity to respond. It can be just indicated on the record that it will be admitted to the record.
What was the applicant sent a copy of that?
No, he was not.
But you can email it now at least, right?
Yes.
And maybe give Joel a few minutes to read it.
I understand the gist of the comment. You know, the area, as I mentioned at the beginning, is surrounded by single family detached dwellings. So I don't have any objection to entering or permitting the entrance of that email on the record.
We'll add that to the record then. Okay. Sorry, Dean, I cut you off there. Just wanted to make sure we handled that appropriately. If you want to continue.
No, actually, I think that we're fine with that. I have no further questions.
All right, unless there's other questions or anything further, Mr. McNaughton?
No, I don't have anything further. Maybe as just a question. So any decision wouldn't be rendered until your February meeting, is that correct?
Typically that's the case. The board has 45 days to render a decision. And then you have 30 days to appeal that if you're aggrieved for any reason. But typically, yes, we would typically act on that at our next meeting. Okay. All right, so I think that concludes our new business. I thank you for your testimony tonight.
Thank you for your time tonight, and hopefully we'll maybe see you in person here soon.
Is there any other business? We don't have any scheduled any other business from any of the board members. Okay, hearing none then, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And the board, I'm sorry, before we adjourn, the board will be adjourning to executive session to deliberate following the adjournment of this meeting. So, so Sandy,
I motion move. To. Mm-hmm.
Second, Lindsay Drew.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you. Good night.